Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. And coming up on this Monday edition, we're going to go behind the scenes of Big Noon Kickoff on set in Ann Arbor for the game over the weekend. We're also going to have a conversation about one team in the AFC that nobody wants any part of right now. What is going on with the LA Rams? A terrible Sunday night football game in the AFC North. We've got a classic that played out in Indianapolis and one player who took over the game, and it's not the guy you would expect. Major news in the world of college football and the usuals. Prop Bet Monster, the FSR IR, the Scraps, all of it is yours coming up next here, the Monday edition of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You know, just a light weekend in the world of football. We will have all the latest for you here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR.
Are you happy now?
You can hang out with us.
Are you happy?
As always.
I heard you pouting the entire time
on
Thursday and Friday.
On the iHeartRadio app, and you can listen to us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are, of course.
Are you happy?
Of course. And
now
wherever
I get to watch
are,
weather with you today and traffic and all that
and
stuff.
And you can watch a little bit of
you know what
too.
I mean, Brady?
Yeah,
like, this dude was in full pout mode on Thursday and Friday.
He missed you. He missed his big brother.
I am the big bro here.
Yeah.
The big broski.
It is.
He missed the wisdom.
By the way,
they call me the dark tone loke of the show. You know what I mean?
Is that what they call you?
Yeah, big tone, black, dark loke.
You know what I mean? Loke.
That
is. It can't be racist because we're all in it together, you know? Dang. Black, brown, you know, even white, you know what I mean? We're all in it together.
You hear that, Lee?
You know what I mean? Human power.
Yeah.
Human power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And some good stuff here throughout the course of the show a little bit. It's been a kind of a light light weekend in the world of football, huh? Not a whole lot going on.
I got to tell you, I was like, I'm always so super impressed with Brady on the show, man. Like, I'd be ready to, like, film them and then repost them to you guys and post them online and stuff, but I don't want to seem like a groupie, but it's like I'd be like sitting there like, man, that's young O Quinn right there. Like, look at my old brother tearing it up, man. Like, y'all were cold as hell too, by the way.
Friday it was a lot colder than Saturday.
Y'all was getting hit.
We were there
Friday
and inside the stadium when it's not full and you don't have those 111,000 other bodies to help kind of share that coldness with you, it is freezing.
That wind was whipping through, y'all.
No lie. Reggie's jaw locked up. Like, it was like he tried to open his mouth one time and his body just didn't function. I mean, Friday was colder. It was like 16 degrees with wind chill. And I think Saturday was more like 22, 23. But we learned our lesson Friday. And so everyone went. They got extra layers, extra stuff going. I was wearing hunting socks. People kept asking me. They're like, hey, I feel like I can see your skin underneath your pants.
Yeah,
I was
no. That's what I thought.
No, those were hunting socks. Those are my socks that I take out when I'm going to go find something to bring home to eat. And trust me, those babies kept me warm. So we were prepared after Friday, but Friday was a battle. I'm
Coach
not going to lie
Coach Stoops'
about that.
Legs on the first day was
oh,
the funniest
man.
Ever. Them things
started.
Was on the move.
Yes, his hands. I felt bad, man, because I was like, oh, no, you're not getting rid of that. Like, once you start shaking, anyone who's been out in the cold like that for a period of time, you're not getting it back. And then your teeth start chattering and you're having a hard time talking. Like, it's, I'll tell you what, man. I still don't consider anything I do really work. It's all fun, it's all play. That was cold. Like, that was edging on, like, okay, this is a little more than I thought.
So, in order, who handled it from worst to best of the entire crew? Because did you handle it better than anybody else?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I'll be honest with you, man. Rob Stone probably handled it as good as anyone.
Yeah.
He had to speak the entire time. And you couldn't really tell he was bothered by it. Like, it was – I mean, when you have to talk that much, I'm telling you, your whole face gets so cold, you can't feel your face. Then you can't really
move. I can't feel my face.
You can't feel your face. And then you start trying to talk, and you're like, man, my mind's working, but my mouth can't, like, keep up with it to, like, talk. Like, I know what I want to say, but, like, my mouth won't move fast enough because my face is so cold.
Yeah.
And you couldn't tell, dude. Like, Rob did an amazing job of that. I would say Reggie and probably – Coach Stoops the first day.
That joke was funny.
Well, Coach, I'll say this about Coach Stoops, though. He didn't even put on some long johns. Like,
Ooh. We
went out there, and he didn't have – he was like, I don't know if I should put these on. We're like, yeah, you definitely should. He's like, I'm from Youngstown. I'm from Ohio. I can deal with this.
And
we're like,
then you should put them on. That's more reason to put them on.
Is that the coldest remote you guys have done? Of all the games you've been to, that had to have been the coldest.
Well, this year for sure, probably forever. I don't think we've done another game that was as cold as that was.
Hey, man, what a scene that was, though. Wow. That played out so well on television. And look, I would like to make a proclamation.
Big Ten football, baby.
This isn't me trying to kiss anybody's ass or ball wash this because we have a relationship with Fox or anything like that. I'm being 100% truthful and honest right now. And I swear to God on this. Because I used to think CBS was the top notch. I don't think it's close anymore. The presentation of college football done by Fox is the best in the business. It isn't close.
It's not
close anymore. I think it's surpassed CBS, ESPN, the job Fox does, the job you guys done during the game, post game, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And I mean, you are
ball washing, but it is.
I 100% believe it.
But it's warranted. I love our balls.
I'll state just what's a fact. I mean, this isn't opinion. We beat the crap out of game day, and our game was the highest rated game the entire season so far. It drummed out the Iron Bowl, whatever else was on. It wasn't even close. The overnight ratings, we had a 9.1. That's roughly about 15 million people watched for the game itself. Our final hour was a 2.4.
Wow.
Which is the highest we've had all year. And by far drummed out.
Man.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
awesome.
It wasn't even close. So, you know, we've been working hard at it, building towards it, but we'll have a lot to talk about today, fellas, because we might be losing another member of our show for a period of time, if not permanently. We don't even know what's going on right now in the college football world.
It is a wild time in the world of college football. We're going to have a ton on that. I'm just, you know, all that being said, all the ball washing aside, I'm just trying to figure out why Brady, why did he want to open up the show with Browns Ravens? Like, I don't know. Like, he was all about it. We were talking about, like, LeVar and I were like, man, listen, you know, Rams Packers felt like the lead. That should be the game to go to first.
I wanted to live out a nightmare again. Yeah. Every time playing the Ravens, absolute nightmare in my NFL career. I want to live that out.
To be honest with you, we could lead off with the Patriots.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, another one we could lead off with are the 49ers. I mean, I love football. And the reason why I love football is because no matter what you say, no matter what you prognosticate, no matter what you believe, no matter what you think, the storyline is going to rip you and pull you and push you and hold you and glide you and slide you. It's going to be all kinds of different storylines that just hit you, and it's unscripted. It's the most unbelievably unscripted reality TV show that you will ever watch. I mean, it never gets old.
And New England has a legitimate chance to be the number one seed in the AFC.
Bro.
I don't think anybody before the year would have said that. Not a shot in hell.
I am blown. Bill Belichick is coach of the year, hands down to me. Like, that's – I mean, I was trying to put dirt on him at one point. I mean, like, how is his glacier – starting to melt, and is it going to turn into a warm seat if they don't turn it around at some point? I mean, they've not only turned it around, they are phenomenal right now.
Yeah.
That was a phenomenal win for them.
I didn't get the line on that game was 7 points, I think it was, last week.
It opened at 5.5. It crept to 7.
See, I didn't understand it. I thought, man, you know, I like New England. I've been ball washing Belichick, as we keep with the theme, throughout the course of the year. But I just don't see how they're that much better than Tennessee, even minus Derrick Henry. I stand corrected. Like, that was an absolutely dominating performance by the Pats yesterday.
I mean, look, a win's a win in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes, you know, and I'm guilty of this. I'll admit this right now. All the time, I kind of go back and forget. Because, look, many of the times I was the team that wasn't expected to win. I was playing as an underdog. So I understand the mentality of a lot of these guys going into it. But that was a matchup where I think had they not dominated them the way they did, I mean, it was 36-13, and to be honest, it was worse than that.
Yeah.
I mean, in NFL standards, that's an absolute bloodbath.
Yeah.
So I think in two ways, you know, you look at the job of Bill Belichick, the way he's coached, but how good is Mac Jones, man?
Man.
I mean, Mac Jones is – he might be playing the best as a rookie quarterback that
– Go ahead. You want to say ever? You want to say ever?
Well, I'm not going to
say – That's a long
I'll say,
time.
I'll say in my lifetime. Wow. I'm trying to think of another rookie quarterback that has come in and has played as – RG3 maybe?
RG3 had an extraordinary season.
I mean, he took them to the playoffs that year. He was dynamic. He was sensational. That's the only other one that kind of came to mind.
And also because Herbert didn't play the entire season. Like, as far right, as start but, to
but,
finish.
But that didn't even make them a playoff team, dude.
Yeah.
He's playing well enough where when you're – I mean, what he Justin Herbert missed, what, one game? He missed Cincinnati, the opener. And then he was, you know, he was thrust in week two after the Tyrod Taylor lung puncture.
Was that week two? I thought it was later than that. Was that week two?
It was early. I think it was week two.
Oh,
it was
interesting.
Early.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So anyway, but you know, RG3 was the only other one that came to mind. It's crazy to me that if you look at this too, it was all about fit. Mac Jones, not only from the way he plays, but I think what he's asked to do within the offense is the perfect fit for what Josh McDaniels wants to do. Mm. And so it's just a match made in heaven. And I'll just say this, man. Something tells me, like, I feel like I'm going to be wrong. Maybe I'm already wrong to some degree. I look at who they've beat right now, and I'm going, all right. Like, you beat a Carolina team that was kind of dwindling off. You beat Cleveland, and Cleveland's not really what they were at the beginning of the season. Then you beat Atlanta, and Atlanta's not very good. Then Tennessee without Derrick Henry. Like, something's like, all right.
Could be fool's gold.
If you beat Buffalo in Buffalo this week,
then you got to, like, give them their props.
I'm on the bandwagon. I'm rolling with you. Like, it's for real. They're going to win the AFC East. They're going to be one of the top seeds, if not the top
favorite.
Seed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got to become the favorite if they do that.
This is the week. It's week 13 in the NFL. This is the week. If they win this game, this matchup, I'm saying right now, like, I'm hesitant, but I'm going to jump all in if that's the case.
That'll put them 6-0 on the road this year. And then they've got Indianapolis after that, who could be a dicey
screwed,
matchup.
Man.
I mean, come on.
They got screwed.
How so?
I mean, the referees, man. But again, I think that the twists and turns of the reality show would not be as such without referees being involved.
They are a key member to the cast.
That's a great point.
They are a key member
like,
to the cast.
Who would they be in a soap opera? Are they like the guy who comes in out of nowhere? He's not even a main character,
yeah.
but he just
the one
there's
that
a constant
always
rotation.
Is banging somebody's girlfriend
yeah.
or their wife.
yeah.
That's who referees
yeah.
are. They always come in ruining things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Like, why are you here?
That's a good point.
Well, because
they're
I
in,
have to be.
Yeah. They're out. They're in.
That's a good
they're
point.
Out. yeah. In. They're out. And then, yeah.
But they're
yeah.
always there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in, I'm out, but I'm always
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting
in
just as
out,
much
in
as
and
you.
Out,
yeah.
And gone again.
And
yeah.
I'm getting just as much as you.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get
out.
It in.
Yeah, definitely. definitely can't relate
what?
To that.
Yeah.
That's for
that.
Sure. That is. That's how you know. And we are off and running here on Fox Sports Radio. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joes. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Brought to you by Discover. Real credit card questions require real people. Someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. All right, so coming up next, there is a situation to monitor in the NFL. A lot of hype around one team, and things do not look pretty right now. We'll get into all that for you next year on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern. 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up in a little over 10 minutes from now, we are going to take a closer look at whatever the hell that was last night on Sunday Night Football. Still trying to figure that one out, but we will get into that here shortly on FSR. I mean, again, like I just can't help but notice that, you know, thank God the Rams moved off of Jared Goff. Thank God, because that was the problem. That was the issue. And so I'm just glad that they're not having to worry about, you know, turnovers.
You went to get them so that you could win games like, you know,
at Lambeau
Packers, you know, going to Lambeau, you know.
You know.
take the field, do the leap. You know, while you're there.
That didn't look good.
Can I ask this question? When you go for a 4th-and-1 on your own 29 in the first quarter of a game on the road, is that more of an indication of what you feel like you're going up against in Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers? Or is it an indication of what you feel like you need to do with your offense, with your team, because of where you're at? Because it came off, and it obviously they ended up not, you know, getting the 4th-down conversion. It only ended up being 3 points for Green Bay. But, you know, you're basically, because of where you're at, you're spotting that team that you're maybe concerned about and how good they are offensively with Aaron Rodgers. You're already spotting them another 3 points. That move came off as desperate.
Yeah.
And it's starting to make everything add up and look desperate, right? Like the change from Goff to Stafford, bringing in Odell Beckham. I'm like, oh, okay, all these are like moves of desperation, which is a bit odd because it's not like Sean McVay is under any stress where he's not going to be the coach there after this year or for the foreseeable future. I mean, Les Snead has nothing to do with the decision to go for it on 4th-and-1 on your own 29 in the first quarter. So I don't really understand, I guess, the desperation. So maybe that leads me to think it's just because they're on the road versus Green Bay. But did you guys not look at that and go, huh? Like, this is kind of look, we can talk about the analytics world and all that stuff. If you're a fan of that, then you look dumb now. Like that's why you don't go for 4th-and-1 in your own territory in the first quarter going up against a team like the Green Bay Packers at home.
Especially on the road, right?
Like I saw a whole bunch of teams doing it yesterday, though. That's the thing. Like,
not that. And 4th-and-1's one thing. Not on your own 29, giving that team 3 points.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I did see a lot of aggressive actions in terms on 4th-downs, more so than I've seen in a long, well, maybe ever. But, you know, I think it has to do with both, to be honest. That could sound like a knee-jerk reaction to go on 4th-and-1 where they're at. It could be that you don't necessarily trust, you know, kicking the ball and giving it to Aaron Rodgers. I would say, regardless of whatever the reason is, wherever the truth lies, it wasn't a sound decision. I'll say that. Not at that point in the game. But I don't know. I think that everybody starts to think that they can get 4th-and-1 manageable yards anymore. I think that it doesn't matter. It's like this is a part. It's becoming an evolution of the game. We're going to go for it if it's 4th-and-short.
I mean, there was a lot of on the knee-jerk reaction stuff. There was a lot of people critical of Matt Nagy with some of the stuff he did with his assistant coaches and some of the moves they've made there in Chicago. And Sean McVay's got a little bit of that to him. I mean, let's not forget Wade Phillips, successful defensive coordinator in the NFL for a long time. And that whole exit from LA was kind of weird. And some people felt like, you know, McVay just all of a sudden decided he wanted to go in a different direction, you know, with this team. And it was like, okay, well, I mean, Wade Phillips doesn't seem like he's the problem. It doesn't seem like that's the problem there. And so here the Rams are. They've lost 3 straight. Going into that game, you'd lost a couple in a row. And to Brady's point, you're on the road. I would think I want to give Aaron Rodgers as long of a field in those temperatures to have to work with and trust my defense as opposed to, no, got to get it now, got to go for it now. And I don't know if it's just Sean McVay's ego. I don't know if he's trying to get Matt Stafford going. Stafford hasn't played well. He turned the ball over a couple of times. They had 3 turnovers yesterday in total. It feels like something's off and something's wrong there, and it feels like they're trying to search for answers. And you can see Sean McVay getting really frustrated on the sidelines, probably thinking to himself, okay, well, at least we've rid ourselves of the Jared Goff issues, but now we've got a guy who's played in this condition before. He's been to Lambeau Field his entire career, and yet here we are. They lose the game, one possession or not. I don't think that game was close. Odell Beckham looks like he's dinged up. It's not working. It doesn't look good for LA right now, just optic-wise.
You're hitting on something there, though. You mentioned Wade Phillips, but this defense was amazing under Brandon Staley. And then he rolls out, and Raheem Morris takes over. And listen, they alluded to it last night, and it's so funny because I kept thinking about you every time Collinsworth would say something. But this defense is not the same defense one reason or another, with all of the star power that they've amassed on that side of the ball, it's not the same defense. Von Miller doesn't look like a dominant football player right now. He looks like a pretty good football player that has decent moments. I mean, his biggest play was almost accidental. You know, he wasn't really there, but he tripped him up enough. They are literally hitting Aaron Donald with three or four dudes every single play.
and he's fighting every play.
And he's, I mean, geez, did you see the way he had that dude's throat grabbed up? He hemmed his
That was like an Adam's apple choke.
Hey, bro.
He wasn't even trying to get the whole neck. He was trying to choke off that Adam's apple.
And that's where you're supposed to do your long arm is on the neck. But the way he grabbed his vocal cords and his Adam's apple,
he didn't want to speak.
Looked like he was going to rip it out. But
you ever done that before? You choke someone by their Adam's apple?
I can't say I've ever had somebody grabbed up by their neck like that. I have grabbed necks before, but it never looked like quite like that. That looked very, very savage, you know? And I was proud of him. I mean, he's from where I'm from, and I was like, God dang, he got that man's neck yoked up, you know? But they be beating him up, though. You know, he has to deal with so many guys hitting on him. I'm sure he gets it in when he can get it. But I guess the point I'm making here is, you know, when you look at this Rams defense, you were hoping that they were going to be the dominant force. They were, like, number one in, like, almost every rating coming into the year, and you know what? They're just not – they are not the catalyst for this team anymore. And now you're looking at, okay, well, they're not the catalyst of this team, and you brought in Matthew Stafford to be the catalyst of this team, and he's not being the catalyst of this team, then where do you go? Where does this all go? And I think that that's where the Rams are right now. They're trying to figure out, just like anybody else is trying to figure out, where the hell do we go at this point? Somebody has to take the lead, and no one has. And I think that that's why they're struggling the way that they are.
Well, and they're kind of old, right, when you look at some of the roster, some of the pieces. Like Jonas touched on, hey, Odell Beckham doesn't look healthy, who basically wasn't even there the first half. I wonder if there was a tyrant in the locker room at halftime because he got more involved in the second half. You know, but Stafford's up there in age. Jonas pointed this out a while ago. Got to give him credit for it. He looks like maybe he's not 100% healthy, too.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Whitworth. Other pieces of this offense are getting up there in age. You know, when LeVar mentions kind of like roaming around, like not sure where they are, it's almost like that old grandparent. Like my grandma at times will call me and be like, hey, sweetie, I feel like I'm close to that. I'm like, grandma, you know, this is how you have to get there. I have to kind of lead her through where she needs to get to at this point. They're kind of like that old aging team that doesn't know where they are. Like, I think we all have like a grandparent who's like that at this point. So
where do they, as far as the NFC West goes right now, if you just look at that division, and I know where the standings are, and obviously Seattle's down.
Right.
Of the three teams at the top, Arizona, San Francisco, and
those
the Rams.
Are the two.
Okay, who do you feel least confident in making
a run? I'll say who I'm most confident in is those two right there that you just said.
Arizona and San Fran.
In that order. In that order right now. And Arizona and San Fran. And the rest of them is just kind of like, forget about it.
And so the Rams, this is concerning moving forward.
I mean,
this isn't just
a
rough three-game skid.
This is a true skid. This is a tailspin, man, and that's hard. It's hard at this time of the year. Like we say it every week. We've now left November, and you have to deal with trending one way or the other once you get into playing football in November. Because come December, you are either starting to click and it's coming together. Like you've been together, the season is well underway. You're beyond the halfway point. You're figuring out what you're going to be. Are you going to be a top seed? Are you chasing a wild card? Are you chasing the division? You have to be showing that you're hitting stride by now. So to be not hitting stride by now, that's alarming to do it now. Like you look at San Francisco, and San Francisco is right around the same record as the Rams. But you're not looking at San Francisco the right way because they're playing better football now than what they were earlier on. Get that out of the way early and have to struggle through it and claw your way back to where you're supposed to be as the season wears on versus you started off fast and then you fell off a cliff. And that's the problem with the Rams right now.
Yeah, they look does not look good for the Rams. Also, by the way, Green Bay looked okay. Green Bay looked fine.
Is anyone playing better football than Aaron Rodgers right now?
It's awesome. You know what I like too? There's zero fear in going against Jalen Ramsey. If Devontae Adams was open, he was throwing it. Had no issues whatsoever going at Jalen Ramsey.
You know what I liked about?
He was throwing Alan Lazard against him.
Yes.
It didn't matter who was on him.
He had zero. He gave zero F's about running on the COVID toe too. Like he got up out of there and ran for some good yards on the COVID toe.
Well, here's the thing about an injury when you know you're going to get surgery on it. It's like, well,
might as well go ahead and do it.
It's like driving to Miami International Airport with 7 miles to go on a flat tire.
Yeah,
it's already flat. You know, you might as well ride this puppy all the way home.
I mean, you were going to ruin the rim, but with that being said, it is what it is, you know? Still going to get it fixed. One way or the other, right?
Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now, we are going to have the latest edition of the FSR IR. We're going to find out who's banged up, who's dealing with some issues throughout the long weekend. Some of us had a longer weekend than others on this show. And again, I'm not trying to out Roberto here on the air, but some of us did, so we will find out about the damage that was done over the past several days here on FSR. Brady Quinn, you are a veteran of the AFC North. You grew up, it was the AFC Central back in the day for you newbie football fans out there. LeVar, you know, obviously being a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. So just in keeping with that division, the hell was that last night in Baltimore? My God, that was a bizarre game. Baker Mayfield looks like he's going through rigor mortis. Lamar Jackson's turning the ball over, you know, seemingly every time he drops back to throw.
We had three picks in the second quarter.
Yeah,
that was ridiculous.
It was pretty bad.
I mean, here's the reality, and I'll say this much. You know, the elements really do kind of level the playing field, or I should say changes the game. Like, I witnessed it this past week on Saturday with C.J. Stroud, who ended up kind of figuring it out. But, you know, you could tell he's from Southern California. His first two throws, I was like, that dude's never thrown a ball in this weather before. Like, literally. Like, I was like, he doesn't know how to do it. Like, someone's going to have to kind of help teach him, coach him up a little bit on you know, tightening up that motion. You're going to grip the football with the fat of the ball to get more surface area on the ball because it's going to be a little slick. Your hand's going to feel numb. It's going to be a little more difficult to control. You could tell early on, like, he was having some issues. That's the time that we're getting now when you're in Baltimore, when you're in the Midwest, you're in these cold weather places. It changes as a quarterback how you're going to have to play. And there's a few things. Like, if you look at Lamar Jackson's motion, not to get too technical, but you know how he's kind of got that little sidearm deal where the ball comes off on the side? That's all good and fun, especially in warm weather and all that. When you get a little bit of wind, which you're always going to have, you know, especially this time of year, there's always going to be a little bit of something, and it gets cold out there, the grip gets tough, you're going to have a hard time then controlling the football. You just are. You've got to get more on top of the football to be able to kind of pierce through the wind and then help it stand its trajectory. When you kind of have that little sidearm sling like he does, it allows, for whatever reason, the ball kind of ends up being like a – it's it almost like rises at times. It's almost like the difference of a pitcher throwing a fastball. And then if you ever watch softball, you ever watch them throw a ball?
Yeah.
You ever notice how it rises as it goes to the plate?
Yeah.
It's the same thing like watching a fastball, though, coming off the mound, where granted you're coming off a mound, but you're getting on top of it. So you're able to control it better through the wind instead of throwing it more sidearm where the ball almost kind of wants to rise anyway. So it's hard to control. Some of it was, you know, a good play. Some of it was bad decisions. But it was sloppy, man. That didn't make you feel confident about either team moving forward.
Well, I'll say this. The confidence that I drew from the game was their defenses. The defense, I should say. Kareem Hunt was back. He ended up leading rushers only by 4 yards over Nick Chubb. I mean, 20-16 in terms of on the day. But when you talk about how Queen, Patrick Queen played, how Tyus Bowser played.
Bowser, yeah.
Yeah, how
Owe.
How Jason Odafe.
Your guy.
It's so weird calling him that anymore. But
Sticks.
I call him J-O, but I guess I got to really get to the point where I can call him Odafe. I just think that this defense, the way they played, they picked up the slack. They played a grittier style, like what we've come used to seeing the Baltimore Ravens do. And that was the difference. That was the difference, because I think both offenses – I'll say this about Lamar Jackson. I mean, they were gushing over Lamar Jackson like he was, you know, playing at the highest of high levels last evening. And I didn't see that. And in fact, I was concerned looking at what they will be able to do, as you mentioned, Brady, moving forward. But I will say this. Lamar Jackson had over 60, I think he had 68 yards rushing in the game. It's like followers, right? When you get followers on social media, some people get impactful followers and then they have bots and stuff like that. So you might have 60,000 followers.
Burners.
But like 40, 30, you know, 70% of them are not real accounts. Every yard that Lamar Jackson gets is real, real yards. Those are real yards that this team really, really needed. They're not empty follows. They're not empty calorie yards. They're real yards. And I guess I got to come back to this. When you talk about can Lamar Jackson take this team to the next level, the weather doesn't get better as we move forward and deeper into this season. So all of the elements that he has to be able to adapt and to adjust to in order to be able to have that success throwing the ball, his receivers and himself are going to have to get on the same page as to how that takes place, because you're not going to be able to win the games, the big ones in the playoffs, if he has to continue to try to do it the way that he did it last night. It's not going to happen. From my humble estimation, you're seeing a Kansas City Chiefs team start to look a little bit better, like they could like kind of break through at some point and start putting some real points on the board. If you come up against, I mean, you look at New England, the way they're playing, if you can't play defense and put points on the board at some point in time through the air, you're going to struggle in the playoffs.
Yeah, and there's also the Baker Mayfield aspect of that game we can get into, because he looks
he's banged up, man, walking wounded.
Really, really hurt, and he looks the part. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up next, it is the FSR IR. We're going to go around the room. We're going to see who's dealing with what after a long weekend. It's yours right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. What, is this Christmas music?
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour, somebody looked okay in the NFL. Unfortunately, they didn't look good enough, and we will get into that here a little over 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. So it is a tradition here on the show. We like to go around every Monday to see who's dealing with what and who wants to own up to anything that they happen to go through throughout the course of the weekend, and a little something we do called this.
After your sports weekend, happens. So it's time to get the FSR IR report.
All right, so who wants to go? Who's got something they want to claim here? You know, speak now or forever hold your peace.
You guys want me to lead it off?
I mean, yeah. Go right ahead.
Because I'm still dealing with it right now. So we had recently had some type of pump issue going on with our pool. And we finally got it repaired and got it fixed and got the pool running again. And they had to shock it because, like, the algae, it's a saltwater pool, so the algae was building up, right? And so apparently they shocked the hell out of that pool. And I may have not have given it enough time before I went in.
No.
My legs, I kind of got the Kevin Durant legs right now because I use calamine lotion on my legs because they have been itching like out of control. My back and my legs have been itching out of control. Like I want like almost rip my skin off, like scratch my skin off. So irritated.
Jesus.
There you go. But I was walking around with the white leg, you know, like based off of how the calamine lotion dries on you and
like powder.
I was ready to come in with them that way, but I oiled them up so you wouldn't make fun of me. but it did relieve. It did alleviate some of the stress that was on my leg.
Jesus.
In terms of itching.
My God.
Yeah, man. IR for real. Legs are like, banged up.
I didn't know it's like that. You've got like leprosy below the waist.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a problem.
Elephantitis too.
Yeah. There it is.
Well done, sir. Thank you, sir. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
By the way, Roberto, who decided just ditched us. You got anything you'd like to report after a 4-day holiday weekend there,
well,
Roberto?
Yeah, I was busy. Wednesday, I was making the mashed potatoes and the gravy.
All right.
Then Thursday, I was making the turkey and stuffing, and I was drinking a little bit of beer. Of course, I was doing that, cooking the ham. When the Raider game started, that's when all the trouble started.
Oh, no.
So I had like 6 beers watching the Raider games. So then we had to go to my in-laws. Went to the in-laws' house. That's when the wine started.
And you guys won, so you were
so I was
super
good
happy.
Drinking the wine.
Right.
I had water there. Then I got to my parents' house. Had some water there. You know, I was hydrating. I was good. Then I got to my parents' house. With my parents' house, my brother-in-law was there. He's a drunk like me. So after that, it was over. I got plastered on wine, man.
So you want beer then wine?
Yeah.
What kind? Red or white?
Raw red wine. Red wine.
Sweet or like you know.
Pinot Noir.
Yeah. Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
All right. Pinot Noir.
Yeah. That wasn't a good decision.
Pinot no work.
It's a little rough.
Okay.
Now Eddie Garcia also had a long weekend. Eddie, do you like to report anything? You got any issues you want to report from a 4-day weekend?
Uh-oh.
Well, when the winds kick up here in Southern California at a certain time of the year, I get really bad allergies.
Mm.
And so I did not get to go to the family Thanksgiving because I was sneezing and nose was running uncontrollably. And I didn't think that would go over too well in a group of people I haven't seen in a while. I didn't want to be like banished to the backyard. You know
he's
got to
put the mask on.
Yeah, so yeah. I missed out on that. My wife was nice enough to bring me a plate of food home, but it kind of sucked. And then the Steelers made me feel better by crapping the bed against the Bengals. Good times.
We didn't make it out of first hour.
It feels like it's about Roberto hit his fart noise. Brady.
Oh, that's a different one.
By the way, Brady basically did a television show from an igloo on Saturday.
I'll be honest, I came back. I got a little sniffle, so I'm not going to lie to you. Two days straight out there, I was like, feels like a little congestion right now. So trying to rid myself of that. That's basically it. It was just not bundling up the way I probably should have Friday. It was, you know what it was? It was like trying to come out one of those cool weather games with no sleeves on. Trying to look cool and be like, this doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me. Then I was like, man, I wish I would have wore sleeves. You know, it was kind of like one of those deals.
Did they have heaters there? I mean, how does that work?
Not on the set inside. Outside they do, but not on the set in the stadium, which we were out there for the entirety of Friday. So that's where it was cold, dude.
Jeez. Well, listen, I'm glad everybody is here. We are back at full capacity here on Fox Sports Radio. Two pros and a cup of Joe.
LeVar's back in studio is what he wanted to say.
No, that's all I'm saying. By the way, check this out. Speaking of legs, you want to see this one?
No.
not this one here?
Nope.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.